The reality is you can have that today. And the Lord can give you the kind that you can't explain. Anybody want to know something you can't explain, but you know it? I wish I could tell you how it works, but all I know is it works. Amen? Is that how good our daddy is? I can't tell you why he's the biggest, the baddest, the strongest, the most powerful, amen, on the street of this eternity, but he is, and he's my daddy. Amen? Come on, we all grew up. Man, some of us were less fortunate and didn't have a father in our home, but you had this desire to have a father. You want to everybody wants affirmation, don't they? And so even though you may not have had a biological father that lived up to their role, still inside of your DNA is, I need to know daddy, and I need affirmation. I need to know who I am. That's real, isn't it? And so our daddy, our eternal father, steps down into this sphere, this realm, and he robes himself in flesh. Yeah. God becomes flesh to show us how to be his son. Amen. Everybody in this room knows that your true DNA says, oh, that's the truth. Amen. Our Father knows how to show us to be who we're designed to be. That's how powerful you are. But the most intriguing thing about this is that he's so interested in us. He's so passionate about you. He never sleeps nor slumbers. His heart beats for you. You're the apple of his eye. And he has never meant any evil toward you. He has always meant good. And he's always been reaching. And he's so good that he lets us know that if we'll just ask him for his spirit, he gives it quickly. If we'll just pause enough today to feel after him, while I'm delivering the thing that God has given me to deliver, while you're sitting right there in your seat, an empowering experience can happen to you while I'm delivering the word of God. Did y'all believe that can happen? Scripture says, and while Peter yet spake the word, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they were all filled with the Spirit and started talking just like daddy. Everything that come out of them, it was undefiled, it was pure. They were in the Spirit. They couldn't curse in it. They couldn't lie in it. Everything they said was, amen, the original information from the very beginning. And it was creative. The very words that God spoke in the beginning that hinges and hangs the earth and the stars that we know it, they begin to say those kind of words. And a whole region is impacted to the point that they are saying, what means this? What's going on here? I don't know what y'all got. I gotta have it. Amen, because you look like you're happy like I want to be happy. You look like you're full of peace like I need in my life. You look like you finally found out who you are, and I need to know who I am. Jesus says some very interesting things in flesh. I'm going to read you one of the things that was recorded that he said in flesh that is very challenging, so you can better understand how sometimes we will turn away from God and walk away from him while he's speaking. Now, Pastor, I'm not going to do that. That ain't happening. And yet, when I get through reading this, you just say, well, maybe I have. Jesus said it this way, anyone who eats my flesh in John 5:56 and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Well, ain't nobody want to be accountable, do we? And so the enemy will go to work and trying to work logic into you on this conversation. And the moment you start trying to figure out what he's saying, you might turn away and walk away from him. Here he goes. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. Verse 66. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Now, this is what Adam did in the garden, because Adam really didn't know who he was yet. Y'all got to catch this today. Because how many of us have said, well, if I'd have been Adam, I wouldn't have done God that way. And you can't get more arrogant than that. Now, I like to think that I'd been smarter than Adam, but most likely wasn't going to be smarter than Adam, because he was in the spirit. He names all the animals, beasts of the field, everything. And he's able to do that because he's got an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying. And he's only saying what he hears his Father say. All of a sudden, it's not about intelligence no more, is it? It's about hearing and following. And within the parameters of me having an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, today in my relationship with that girl right there, for us to have a healthy relationship, it depends on her and I deciding we need Jesus in the mix. The idea that she's smart enough and I'm smart enough that we're going to stay together ain't true. She can walk up here right now and I can hand her the mic and she can let you know that there's been times she wished I wasn't around. And there might have been thoughts that I don't want to know she thought. Reality of it is, amen, in the world we're living in, when you get in the Spirit and you begin to host God's presence, you don't want to stop it. When you're not hosting Him, when you're not positioned for Him to abide in you, as you abide in Him, after you do it, you don't do it. There's no, you get to where you're like, my God, I feel much better when I'm in the Spirit. I rest better. People that rub my hair the wrong way and rub it off potentially, I'm not bothered by them when I'm in the Spirit. But when I'm not in my true identity in the Spirit, I got two bits I want to share. I got a revelation I want to give. And I might say what I shouldn't say because I'm not listening to what he's saying about them that he's in love with. I have found something that the enemy don't like about them, and I'm hearing him now. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so many of them left them that day, just like Adam left God in the beginning. And Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, are you going to leave too? So how many times has Jesus spoke to you and you turned away and left him? Not because you were being mean to him, but you just didn't understand what he was saying. Amen. We don't understand what he's saying simply because we don't know who we are. Now, some of you might start trying to figure a way around that so you can justify where you're at presently. But I know everybody in this room needs more of Jesus. I know every relationship in this room needs more emotional health. Amen. We don't have it figured out. We need Jesus. And what we need more than anything is a fresh word from heaven. And that simply means Jesus, when you go check him out, he come in the volume of the book. The scriptures are they which testify of him. You want to talk about heaven now? Get in Christ. Get in Christ. A word from heaven is a direct word from him to you. And when you get this attitude that can only God can give it. Isn't that right, Tony? Because you can't say yes, Lord, unless you get empowered to say yes, Lord. I'm going to be a good guy. No, you're not. I've tried the good guy thing a bunch. It just don't work. It looks like I'm being a good guy for a while. Well, a few minutes anyway. It's tracking now. Everybody agrees. So our ability to produce Christ depends on our willingness to open up and let him come in. And when you let the king of the kingdom that's within us take over his kingship inside of us, anything can happen. Amen? And so Jesus wants what belongs to him. And he is not complete without you. Got to catch this one. He don't like members missing. He likes all of his body parts. He paid our debt off. He owns every being, every soul that's ever existed. He owns them. He even digresses after he dies and goes all the way down to hell and preaches, amen, to the captive. And he leads captivity captive on the way out. Now, obviously, there's a bad place called the lake of fire. Obviously, there's a place none of us want to go and be a part of. Amen? But there's some good news here today, amen, that brings hope to who you are because you're breathing right now. Everybody in this room knows I don't want to go to the bad place. I want to go to the good place. And I really need to know how to walk this walk and talk this talk and enjoy the benefits of what he purchased on our behalf 2,000 years ago that's available every moment of every second of every day. Right now, he's in the moment. That's why the Lord is speaking, because I've come to realize over the years, I can't teach anybody. I can't reveal anything to anyone. I can only be a representative, a platform, a tool, an instrument in our Father's hand for him to bring revelation, him to bring hope, him to bring peace, him to bring the kingdom of God into the earth through us. And so the more we become grateful and with an attitude of gratitude towards the fact that he's given us this day. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only a couple of requirements from heaven for me and you. And that is to rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. And we make a decision. We either can be glad or we can be sad. We can rejoice, or it's doom, despair, agony, defeat. Which you make a choice. And the choice that we make, amen, either brings blessing or curses, life or death. We choose. And so the good news is, not only does he invite us to come go with him on this journey, he empowers us with experiences that sustains us, amen, and supersedes every pain of yesterday, amen, so we can move with him everywhere at all times. Is that exciting to know that God, amen, is not just a God that says, obey? No, what he does is he gives you a reason, he gives you empowerment, he gives you, amen, an experience that says, why not? Yes, Lord. His commands are never grievous. Anytime he asks for me to do something, it's an invitation to experience something that's beyond my imagination. Can I help you today? He didn't ask us to do rituals. He didn't ask us to get bound with tradition. He didn't ask anyone to go to church. And I pause for it because most of New Life understands where I'm going. But he did ask us to be his church. And when we trust him with being his church and step into our identity, we don't forsake ourselves, amen, in the assemblies of ourselves together. Because we're hungry and we're thirsty. We're on fire. We have experience. We have this zeal. We have this hope. We have everything that we need that brings us together, because we can't be without him. And when I can't be without Jesus, guess what? I won't be without you. Amen? So what do you know today is the question. Are you more focused on the fact that you're limited? That's what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Or are you more focused on the fact that you're worthy? My limitations are a product of the fact, amen, and I think about them because I don't know who I am. But when I begin to understand who I am and what he done on my behalf, I begin to understand that all things are possible to them that believe. Nothing is being withheld from me today. I'm a king's kid. You are a child, amen, of God. You are powerful. And your potential lies within your faith, amen, that you have from heaven. Amen. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the very voice of God. Do you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying today is the question. And all of us need to answer. We're all in the process of coming into the statue of Christ. Our identity in Christ is a direct result of how we fellowship with him. And we yield to his will flowing out of us to wherever we are going with anyone that's in our path. Living above the lies of limitations that crush our spirit requires that we have this ear. And so, where are we getting our identity? Ask yourself the question today, where is it that I get my identity? Most pastors in our world get their identity from the congregations they're pastoring and not from above. Oh, yeah. Getting our identity from above is how we consistently live in a win-win situation. And without limitations dictating that we belong to the king. You see, those who doubt that they can live in a win-win situation live in fear. Their life is constantly in a self-protect, self-promote dynamic. Does this sound familiar? Anybody ever been in a position where you're posturing, trying to protect yourself? And so, when we're self-protecting, when we're self-promoting, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening is our Christianity is based on how we imitate others that we respect in our life. And let me challenge you today. Those people are already here. We don't need any more of them. This is so important. I need you to be you. And you need me to be me. And when we decide to be who God ordained and destined for us to be, together what we can do, the enemy cannot manipulate, he cannot control us, he cannot have dominion over us. All of a sudden, everything that he stole from us, he has to give it up and give it right back. When we give our ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, read Hebrews 13:2. This is what happened. We will not forget. When we give an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, this is what it says in Hebrews 13:2. Catch this. We will not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. You don't need to pause for a minute to catch that. When you're in the Spirit, and when you learn to only say what you hear your father say, everybody's going to be blessed. Your husband, your wife's going to be blessed. The children are going to be blessed. Amen. They can't be with you enough. But when you are walking in the Spirit and listening, you're not going to mistreat strangers. You're not going to have this idea, well, I don't want to be around nobody right now. I know how to, I'm a guy. There's times I just, that's not my identity. I'm a one through a lens, and I'm always for justice and, you know, protocol, plan of, but that's not who I am. God says I'm someone else. And when I don't want to be around people, that tells me something. When I want to be by myself, that lets me know something. You know what it lets me know? I'm listening to the wrong voice. Pastor, look, come on. There ain't nothing wrong with taking some time off and taking care of yourself. And I hear you. Most of me agrees with you right now. But let me encourage you. The enemy wants you alone. He wants you to think you need me time more than any other time. Let me say what I hear the Father saying. The fields are white unto harvest, but where are my laborers? That's not to be a condemning word. That's to be a convict, because you'll find that's where you'll find him. He's with the multitudes. He's at the leper colony. He's touching the sick and the diseased. He's right in the middle of where a pandemic's going on. And he's pulling them out of darkness and bringing them into marvelous light. Anybody catching this? When you see Jesus' work, when you see him at work, when you see him, amen, active, that's a revelation of who you are. Galatians 4, that's our identity. Anytime you can identify Christ as being active, you're getting a revelation of who you are. You see Christ on a level I don't. And what's happening is you're getting a download of who you are. And the reason you're attracted to that likeness of Christ and you want to be involved in that level of Christ is because that's your identity. Whereas I see another image of him, not apart from yours, the same Jesus, the same body, the same mission, the same purpose, but I'm attracted to him in a different way. Because it's my identity. It's my part of the membership of his body. And it's revealing to me, that's who I am. Anybody attracted to Jesus? When you see Jesus, it's like, man, I want to hang out right there. Telltale sign, that's who you are. And there's no limitations. Oh, by the way, you're worthy. Because the enemy's going, he's already told every one of us in this room, we're not worthy, we're guilty, we're shameful, we don't deserve, we'll never live up to. And we've heard those voices all of our life to the point that we've accepted an identity that don't belong to us. And today, when God does what he's going to do here in the next few minutes, some of you are going to go, I should have had a V8. I should have known that was the liar lying to me. And he has caused me to live in this prison of hopelessness and lack of identity for years going to church. And he has been okay with me going to church as long as I'll never be the church. Amen. And so when you understand that hanging out with people maybe you don't know, you might be entertaining an angel and not even know it. Oh, by the way, some of you are already tracking back and realizing, oh, goodness, could that have been an angel? And I just want you to know today, is God big? Is he in control? Is he in charge? Is he the one that sits on the throne? Mark it down. Don't forget this. He's going to let you see every angel you didn't know you was entertaining. He gonna do a rehearse and just let you know, and I loved you anyway, and I was merciful, and I just couldn't wait to spend time with you. And he's not going to beat you up over it, but he's going to let you know he was there all the time. Oh, yes, yeah, this is good. And so here, and when we realize that we interact with angels more than we think we do. Pastor Lowe, is this message about angels? No. But it's important that you know that he sent forth ministering spirits to minister on behalf of you. Because it says it right here in Hebrews 1:13, and God never said to any of the angels, notice what he never said to an angel, but he says it to you. Sit in the place of honor on my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. He never told an angel that. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Angels don't get special treatment. God's kids do, though. Somebody will catch that in a minute. As a born-again believer, we sit in heavenly places in Christ. He invites us to come sit with him in his throne. And guess where the angels hang out? Around the throne. Okay, Pastor, you're getting a little bit too deep for me right here. But you're about to find out that what you're looking at in the mirror is finite. But inside that finite body is a spirit that God has already limited himself to you being his representative. He's not going to finish this thing without his body, and you're his body. Amen. And you may be paralyzed right now. You may not be doing much, but amen, if you pay attention, he's telling Lazarus to come forth. He's speaking to dry bones to live again. He's telling the tree that's been cut down to the stump, it's going to grow bigger and better and produce more fruit than ever before. All he needs is for us to give him an ear to hear what he's saying. Not what Dwayne Lowe's saying. What he's saying. Amen. And so Satan and his demons become the believer's walking material. Now I'll ask you a few questions, and I'm going to close here in a few minutes. But a few examples of people stepping into their identity. Let me challenge you here. What if Jonah being swallowed by a whale was more for him, knowing who he is, than the people that threw him off of the boat? Because they were wild. Oh, my goodness. And the seas were calm. What if him being swallowed by a whale was him to find out more about who he is? What if Jacob wrestling with an angel to daybreak was more about Jacob finding out who he is? Because the angel touched him and gave him a name changed. And he left there walking differently, but his name was changed to Israel. Well, I'm talking about ministering spirits, y'all, that come to minister to us. What if Daniel in the lion's den, where the angel of the Lord met him, what if it was more about Daniel getting a revelation of who he was than for Babylon and the king to recognize he was a man of God? Think about that for a minute. What if Daniel, going on 21 days of prayer and fasting, and the angel is having to deal with the prince of Persia, but it was more about Daniel coming to a place where he agreed with what God had to say, which broke that thing, and the angel shows up now. What if everything in the Scripture is God telling us about who we are? What if it's, amen, God taking Adam on a journey back to his true identity? And we know it is, because the good news message always includes the fact that we get honest with ourselves and we tell Jesus the truth. That means we repent and we go down in a watery grave in His name. And when we're buried with Christ in baptism, come on, man, we're not talking about just physical parts here. We're talking about a spiritual dynamic. We're buried in Christ. We're raised in the Spirit. Now, in 1974, I was baptized in His name, and I was filled with His Spirit. Something happened that was eternal, and I came alive. Several of you know all about what I'm talking about right now. Yes, this body will lay down and go back to the dust from which it came. But I'm never going to die. I've been born again. And I'm in fellowship with the Spirit of God, and I'm walking with Him. And I'm not Mr. Perfect. And the older I get and the longer I walk, the more I need Jesus. I can look back and blush on some things in my life, but I can also see the fingerprint of God. And I needed to go through everything I went through so He could get my attention on my identity. This is talking to someone. You don't have to wait. You don't have to be down and out no longer. You don't have to be sad and beat up and frustrated and body slammed and feel like you're worthless. Amen. You can actually feel like you have some worth before you leave today, that you're precious to Him. And it's an experience that you cannot deny. It's not just, it's not shaking the preacher's hand and saying a prayer. And I'm not opposed to shaking your hand and saying a prayer with you. I'll do that today. But that's not the experience that He's talking about. He's talking about something else between you and Him, where He's able to come into His house. And when He comes into this house, there's going to be an experience. There's going to be a response. There's going to be evidence that Jesus is in His house. Man, what if the three of Hebrews' children facing the fire seven times hotter was more for them than it was Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon? Oh. You don't see Nebuchadnezzar talking to the fourth one in the fire, do you? Who's talking to the fourth one in the fire? Oh, that's a true story. They know what he's saying. Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon don't know what he's saying. They know what he's saying because they're getting a revelation of who they are. Prior to walking into a fire that's seven times hotter than it was already that would kill anybody, the people that threw them in, they died from the heat. Catch this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lets the king know, look, we don't know if we're going to live or die. But we do know one thing. We ain't bowing. I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust my God. And they needed to go into that furnace. If somebody said, Pastor, I really don't want to have to go through no furnace fire like that seven times. I don't want to have that kind of trouble in my life. I understand, but do you want to know who you are? Because on the other side of the fire, they made sure they understood. I'd go back through that again. Come on, the disciples went through how many storms? And yeah, they freaked out every time they went through one. But when they got to the other side, they concluded, I'd go back through that again, because they understood who they were going through it. This is helping somebody here today. Peter is in jail, and I can only imagine that he's thinking, okay, I deserve this. I denied Jesus three times. Don't tell me those thoughts didn't come to him. This is probably all I can do. I got this far. Got filled with the Spirit, and the Lord's probably taking me on now. Because I already had that talk with Jesus about why in the world John get to live longer than me. Are y'all tracking? And the Lord's like, what's it to you, Peter? Now he's in jail. He's thinking, okay, this is it. But the angel of the Lord comes. and leads them out. I ain't through with you. Got some more work to do. You think that being in the jail was for the people that prayed him out? Or was that being in the jail for Peter to realize even more of his identity? Amen. I'm going to close with this personal example of my wife and I. I didn't even get to read some of the important stuff. Oh, my God. I'm not going to look down. It's good stuff. Got me encouraged. But I look back on my past, y'all. And the Lord kind of let me know, it's kind of like Samson going back to the lion. The battle he fought with that lion, and in that lion was honey. And it sustained him. And it let him know, God ain't quitting on me. He's got more plan that he's doing. I reflected, and I started seeing the fingerprint of God at a new level. I got up 3 times last night. Tammy may have noticed it. Of course, she got up one time and didn't come back. She finds a room in there and she'll hide out in that room. And I'm reflecting and I'm seeing the fingerprint of God on our lives. And one personality really convicted me enough to get up and, okay, Lord, I'll write what you're telling me. Sterling Pilot. And some of you know him. He walked on, went with Jesus here about 7 years ago. But my wife and I were young, and I don't know if we had any children yet at that time. But I'd go pick him up because he'd come to do some services. He's a powerful prophet, powerful minister, great teacher. And I picked him up one of the days, you know, go take him out for breakfast, and that's what my pastor had me do. He got in the car and he said, I just want you to know I had a vision of you last night. And he don't know me. He don't know me, but I know what God's telling me. And I'm saying, are you sure, Lord? And he don't know me. He said, I had a vision of you last night, and you're going to be starting a new work. And I'll be preaching in that new work. I'm thinking, okay, there might be some significance to you. Because I ain't told nobody that. Yeah, that's in my heart. That's what God, and my wife knew that. It was in our hearts. Sure enough, we come to San Antonio. It wasn't long afterwards. And we didn't remember until he was up at the platform on the first service. He just happened to be in San Antonio. He just happened to be here. And he said, man, I hear you come to San Antonio. He ain't thinking about the vision God gave him. And I'm not thinking about it. I said, man, yeah, and then my first service this weekend, can you come and preach at it? He said, I'd love to. And while he's ministering, and the title of his message was Pentecost at Any Cost. And it's like God was giving a prophetic word. And while he's preaching, I remember. And he said, when I was preaching, I remembered the vision. And so we all got excited. It's like fingerprint. But there's one thing that he would do. And it took God to reveal it to me why he was doing it. He would call my wife his favorite pastor's wife. And God told me this morning it was for a purpose. I had him do that to validate her. And I mean, he would call and he would ask about his favorite pastor's wife. Every time he referred to her, it was his favorite pastor's wife. He came and he would give her a hug, and it was always my favorite pastor's wife. Yeah. And God was validating and confirming. During that time he was here that second time, I think it was, he come up to me and my wife. He said, look, get ready. God's going to give you a house. And I'm thinking, I'm good where I'm at, man. I didn't ask for no new house. But God starts talking to me early this morning, validating worth. And it wasn't, I mean, it was no time. And her sister calls us and says, can we, see, Diet marries Dan, and that's a good couple there. And they wanted to have us come over because they had something they needed to tell us. And while I was driving over there, I was computing what Sterling Pilot had told me. They don't know it. They're on the other side of San Antonio to me. And so they call and want to tell us that they want to give us their house. So me and Tammy had already agreed when we got there, if that happens, we ain't accepting, right? Exactly. No, can't do that. So sure enough, we get there, and they say, look, the Lord told us to give us, and it's a new house. It's not just a new house to us. It's a new house. And she and I both said, nope. Thank you, man. What an awesome gesture. You have wowed us. We are humbled by it, you know, and we were sincere about that, but we can't accept this. What I didn't know is Dan and Diet knew we were going to reject the offer because God showed them we were. I didn't know that. I'm thinking, we were driving home, we're thinking, hey, we did the right thing. Thank you, Lord. You want to give us a house, you better give us another one. We don't want to take our family's house. So the next day, I'm in study, meditating on the Lord. And it's like, you ever heard jumper cables when they cross positive and they touch? You ever heard that before? Well, I think I'm hearing that in the ceiling of the house. And the moment I'm thinking, oh, man, I need to climb up here and find out what's wrong. This thing could burn down. The Holy Spirit stopped me and said, nope, there ain't nothing wrong with this house, but I just want you to know, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you will have to receive that house one way or the other. And I mean, the presence of God came in the room. It was thick. And all Dan and Diet were doing, they were just sitting there waiting. Just wait. And so I come in, I told Tammy, I said, this is what the Lord just did. And he said, you can reject it or you'll receive it shortly. So we called them up, said, can we come back over and talk to y'all? They were waiting on it. Because he'd already written it and put it in his Bible before they asked us to come over the first time. You see how God is in the detail? And I'm thinking, man, I'm not asking for a house, Lord. Why did Sterling Pilot say I'm going to give you a new house? I wasn't asking for a house. Worth. Identity. Worth. Identity. Yeah. So we moved into that house. And Dan and Diet do what they do, explore the world. It's awesome. But Sterling Pilot calls right after we're in that house and says, I'm talking about details, y'all. He says, the Lord told me I'm supposed to come out there and stay with you till you start the new building. And so that being said, he's not coming out here to preach. He just says, he's told me to come out there, and I'm not to leave till you start the new building. You must understand this, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't possible for us to start this building. We had went to every bank. We had went done all, everything against Dave Ramsey. But the Lord was allowing this to teach me something. It was a storm I needed to go through. It was a 7-time hotter fire I needed to experience to find out who I am. And so he's here, Sterling Pike, because he don't want me to. This is what the Lord said. He's here to help you say, yes, Lord. And so we've exhausted. It's come down to only God. He's in charge. If you want us to borrow the money, Lord, you're going to have to provide it because you own the banks. And it was like he says, well, I'm glad you finally figured that out. I do own everything. And so Sterling Pine and I agreed, sitting in the living room of that house, that, okay, it's in your hands. We've done everything we can do. Nothing else to be done. He agreed, I agreed. And we just said, okay, it's in your court, Daddy. 5 minutes later, I get a phone call from a financial institute that said, look, we love to do this deal. We believe you're perfect. And we're thinking, okay, are you sure you're calling the right number here? Oh, no, we've checked it out, and we're ready to start now, and we're going to get this thing going right this moment. And as soon as Sterling Pilot seen the slab going down, he says, I just had another vision. I need to go. Because God is going to let me build a church. He's 76 years old. He's going to let me build a church in a place I've always wanted to build a church. And I need to get back now. And as soon as he got back, it blew up there. Do you know who you are? Do you know? Ask yourself that question right now. Do you understand that you're worthy? Now, you're not going to do this because Jesus made it clear to anyone that follows him, before you go and give him away, something needs to happen. There has to be an experience of empowerment that propels you into this knowing that you can't explain. I'm not guessing no more. I know who I am. I am worthy. I am not limited. All things are possible. How do I know that? I can't tell you. But I'm in the spirit of it right now, and I'm going to hang out right here and watch him work from me. I'm only going to say what I hear him say. Whatever he's doing, I'm going to join in with it, and I'm going to go do it. And I'm going to live in that sphere of my identity. This experience happened in Acts 2. And when the Acts 2 experience happened to Jerusalem, then to Judea, it goes to Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts. And it never changes. What it took for them 2,000 years ago to live victorious and to receive their true identity, it takes for you and I today to live victorious, to believe in who we are, that we're worthy, and that all things are possible. You're not going to figure it out, y'all. If you're going to try to figure out this experience of the baptism of the Spirit, it'll never happen. Matter of fact, you can do all the Bible studies on it you want to. Before the Bible was written, this experience was happening. And it was prophesied in the Torah long before it happened. So if you need another Bible study, I'm not here to give that to you. You just need a fire that's 7 times hotter. You need a storm where the boat's full and Jesus can show you how to sleep when it's going down like a submarine. Hello. You need to be in a lion's den so you can experience him. Anybody want to experience God? Really, what you've been going through is all about you. And there's more to come. I encourage you, get in the Spirit. I encourage you, quit fussing with the invitation from heaven. Let God come. Can we stand? And can we lift our hands towards heaven and surrender? If you'll let us pray for you, we will today. We'll lay hands on you. And God will meet us there. But he can feel you right where you're standing. And you can know when you leave today, I am worthy. And nothing's impossible. Let's sing with them. Let's rejoice. Let's release. Let's surrender. Let him come in.